There is much too much ideology, not enough practical progress.
People are angry, and they are frustrated that perhaps it hasn't been a fast enough change.
Even at a time of enormous national challenge, the people's business is not getting done.
I don't want you to feel discouraged.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
All this week, we've been having conversations about gridlock in Washington. It's a series we're calling Frustration Nation. Yesterday, we talked about the role of the media and whether we in the media perpetuate the political divisiveness and the dysfunction in Washington and across the country overall. Well, so many of you have written in and called at 877-8-MY-TAKE about this topic that we've decided to take a few of your reactions and put them to the editor of the Columbia Journalism Review. That's Mike Hoyt. So, Mike, let's explore now why so many Americans have grown angry with political news coverage. I want to start with Isaac, a strong example of the fervent anger that we heard from yesterday.
This is Isaac calling from Riverdale, New York. The media is responsible for having put us through the Iraq War, the second one, and it's because of the media that we're in the economic situation that we're in right now because of their faulty coverage of Wall Street.
Now, Mike Hoyt, Isaac may be frustrated for a media that's done too little, I guess, from Iraq and preventing the Wall Street collapse. Are a lot of Americans, do you think, as angry as Isaac when it comes to media coverage of the government?
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I think there's a lot of free-floating anger out there, and a lot of it's landing on the media, and I think some of it's legitimate and some of it isn't. I mean, the press didn't start the war in Iraq. You know, the Bush administration started that, and the press didn't ruin the economy. We have some other institutions to blame for that. Some people like to blame the press for not reflecting the world they want or for reflecting a world that they don't like the way things are going. But, you know, that said, I mean, those two issues that Isaac raised, the war and the economy, are tests that the mainstream media did fail, I think. When the rationale for the war was being put forward, I don't think the press, it's a lot of people don't think that the press put enough pressure on the arguments, especially the WMD argument, and just sort of was credulous and let that argument go forward without a test. I don't know if they could have stopped the war, but they sure could have challenged its rationale.
That was the issue of weapons of mass destruction, and the economy is complex. Iraq was complex, and another issue that's complex, of course, that's in front right now is healthcare. Yesterday, we had on Kathleen Hall Jamison from the Annenberg Public Policy Center, Mike Hoyt, and here's one point she made about how headline-driven news is changing the way Americans get their news.
The media are able to digest complex issues in short segments if they want to. A Republican plan, you'll be able to buy insurance across state lines. Democratic plan, you'll be able to carry your insurance until you're 26 if you're a student. The complexities of plans can be reduced to short segments.
It doesn't mean you can't get confused. Now, Anne from Massachusetts wrote on our website, thetakeaway.org, we depend on the media to call politicians out for misstatements and lies. The health care reform debate is an example. We hear that most Americans are happy with insurance. Then we hear that 30 million people are without insurance. Please clarify what this means. Kathleen Hall Jamison is saying even when things are complex, they can be made understandable even in soundbite form, and that sometimes the media does succeed in doing it, Mike Hoyt.
Well, I mean, they're both right. I mean, the changes of the digital revolution are, you know, they're just so profound we don't even know can't even get our arms around them. But one of them is that there's just so much more information and so much more noise out there that everyone is trying to break through. There's just simply more competition, and one way to break through is to sort of outshout or out-hype or, you know, out-pander or out-simplify the other person. But, you know, that's not the only way. I actually believe in competition. I think it's a good thing, and I think, you know, the media is in competition with everything now, not just other media, but everything for attention. And another way to break through is to clarify and to add depth and to have sharp angles and analysis.
Now, here's another listener who's upset with what she's been hearing and reading. When we think about the political situation we're in today, is the media trying to turn around too much, too fast, and missing the small stories that really actually make a difference in people's lives and in public opinion?
This is Marcia from the Boston area. I hold the media very responsible, not for creating problems, but for making them go on and for making them worse. The media should be reading the health care plan and reporting what it says. The media should be investigating when the Republicans or Democrats make claims against each other that aren't truthful and reporting on the truth.
Now, a couple of listeners complained about the political opinions they hear from their news sources. Assad from Fort Lauderdale writes, the media is at fault for the most persuasive part of the situation, public opinion. Most people get their news from TV and radio, which also shapes their opinions on the issues. And when the media highlights the debate in an exaggerated manner, the end result is that public opinion starts to take on this exaggerated view. And Neil from Columbia, South Carolina wrote on the website, the media has to take some of the blame for this. There is almost no distinction between opinion and hard news. Pundits become experts, and people with real expertise are rarely featured. And to this mix, the drive for ratings and pandering journalism is now the norm. So as we go through all these comments, it seems that listeners overall are frustrated with the media, and that's why we're covering it on The Takeaway, because there are complex issues out there. Healthcare is a prime example. We've seen so much frustration, especially among supporters of the healthcare bill, frankly, that as popular as parts of this bill are, as Celeste said earlier, the bill overall is not popular.
But I think that what we can do as journalists is to be transparent about how we choose sources, because you should be choosing reputable, credible sources and not just pundits or bloggers who have an opinion. Everyone has an opinion. And we should be holding people to task if they say something that is incorrect. We should be fact-checking the people who are on the show, absolutely.
Fact-checking is the first principle of this industry. We hope we're doing it right here on The Takeaway, and we hope that you think so too. Mike Hoyt is editor of the Columbia Journalism Review, who joined us, and you, the listener, joined us. Thanks to you all.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.